Hello.
Hi.
Hi, there you are.
There you are.
How are you?
I'm good. I've literally
Good.
been sleeping all day because I'm such a useless piece of shit.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been having crazy dreams. So when I wake up, I haven't slept well because,
Yeah.
yeah.
I know. My dreams have been, I'm super into the Murdoch Mysteries show, and my dreams have revolved around that. So they've been a little interesting, for
Yes.
sure.
I had a
Definitely.
no, I dreamed I got trapped in a mall with a bunch of people and couldn't get out.
That sounds like my worst nightmare in general. A mall
I know, me
on its
too.
own sounds like my worst nightmare.
Me too. I hate them all.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess like dreams and stuff are amped up. I also love like looking up what dreams mean. Like what they like when like what is it when your teeth fall out at something like you're nervous about like money or some shit. Like
Oh, I thought it was that you are feeling like you are getting older.
oh, really?
I don't know.
Why did it something to do with money? I have no idea.
Maybe. I don't know either. I
And
don't
then
know.
like if you dream like someone it dies, it really means like someone's gonna get pregnant or something.
Oh, gosh.
I
Okay.
don't know. There's random shit. The Goog has a lot. The Goog tells you a lot. But I know dreams are crazy.
They
I love
are.
I like love and hate them. My mom used to tell me when I was a kid, she really just wanted me to become like a famous Stephen King person so I could get her like a house on the beach kind of thing.
Of
But
course.
she used to tell me when I would wake up like from my nightmares and stuff as a kid, she'd be like, you need to write it down. Like, because when I was a kid, I wanted to be a writer. And I didn't realize that would eventually be part of my life. But she was like, you need to write these dreams down so you can be like a famous like horror person. And like I feel like you should probably be like comforting me in a different way right now than thinking about your future.
Instead of profiting off,
Right. Instead of
I
me
hope.
sobbing and you trying to profit off of the situation.
Hey, man, she's just being
But
practical.
I mean, that was, hey, a single
Yeah,
mom gotta do what a single mom gotta do,
that's
man.
right.
If one of your kids like starts having Stephen King like dreams,
Write
then
that down.
write that shit down, man.
Yes, I feel
No, yeah,
that.
mine, they were, I had a couple that were strange and they were reoccurring. Do you ever have like reoccurring dreams over like years?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. When I was a kid, that used to happen to me all the time. Like it would, and I could go like months without having one and it would be the same exact dream. And I could be like in the dream and think like this happened to me already. Like I did this, I've been here already. Like, and I could kind of manipulate it a little bit, but it still ended up typically it ended up the same. But yeah, it's very weird how
Did you
dreams
watch
work.
Breaking Bad at all?
Yeah.
You know
Oh
that
God, I love
opening,
Breaking Bad.
the very opening scene with the airplane
Yeah.
and the burnt
And
teddy
the,
bear?
yeah.
That was my dream, was always that an airplane exploded above me and debris was falling all around me
Ooh, I
for
wonder what
years.
that says about you.
I don't know. Whenever I would feel stressed, that would be that dream. And then when
Interesting.
I saw that show, I was like, oh my God, it's my nightmare.
How did they know? Someone's reading my mind. It's the government.
Oh no, am I going to start making meth now? Oh
In a trailer in the middle of the desert
in my
in my
underwear.
underwear. Oh, such a good show.
Yeah, that was a good
I
show.
loved it. I need to rewatch that. I haven't watched it in a long time.
It's stressful though. I don't know if now's a good time.
Right. It is stressful, but
It's
maybe
so
we all just
stressful.
need to ha make meth is the answer.
Oh gosh.
Actually, I joke, but that's part of the show that I'm now binging and obsessed with that everyone I talk to has to listen to me talk about. But it's cool because it's like right before the like turn of the century, like late 1800s. And so it's funny because this guy is like a police officer, but he's also like an inventor, and he meets like Nikola Tesla and like
Oh, cool.
Arthur Conan Doyle and like all of these people. But like in the show, this like reoccurring thing that they do is like he'll come up with an idea, and then his little like sidekick person is like, you know, what if one day like this happened? And it's like an actual thing that we have. Like one of them was like a tape, and he like called it something like funny. And then the other one I just watched were a color by numbers, or like a paint by numbers thing. Mm-hmm. So it's this reoccurring theme that like he creates something, and then his sidekick like talks about something that actually already actually exists now.
That's really hysterical.
They also use meth a lot. Like they use meth for everything back then. Meth and heroin, something they used all the time.
Love cocaine.
Loved it. I was like, we did a lot of things that we should not have been doing.
No.
A lot of meth. No. A lot of meth. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. They're like, he has like boil-like things on his face. I'm like, yeah, because he's on meth.
Yeah. If you ever like the Sherlock Holmes stories, he was an opiate. Oh, addict.
Everyone. Yeah, we've talked about it on here. Like everyone. Yeah. Loved their opium, and like that was just the thing that people solved. It was life's problem solver, essentially. Yeah.
Crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, didn't work out. Didn't turn out well for a lot of people.
No, it's not didn't a great end well. Path to go down. No,
it wasn't. It surprisingly wasn't. I think it took us a little too long to figure that out.
Yeah.
Took us a little time to figure that situation out. But we worked it out eventually.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Well, most of us, some people, unfortunately, have not learned that lesson yet. But
yeah.
So that's really all I've been doing with my life. Anything new? Anything? I mean, I talk to you probably every day of my life, so I know most of your things.
No, earlier today I was watching Forensic Files and sewing my costume for next year for Mardi Gras.
Which remains. Let me tell you, listeners, she can't even tell me, and it pisses me off.
I don't even. I know I can't tell you what the theme is, and we're just trying to, you know, remain hopeful that we'll have Mardi Gras. I know. So the crew has a plan in place. If we don't,
good.
That we will, but we're all gonna be hopeful. It maybe look different than most years.
I think it'll probably look a little different. How it'll look, I'm not sure, but I don't know. Think it'll look a little different.
Yeah. But, you know.
But we'll see. Yeah, I mean.
We'll see.
I don't know. This is what? Episode number 4 we've done remotely?
Yeah, I think so.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. So crazy.
It is crazy. So.
I hate it. I it's funny because as much of a, like, I don't really like a whole lot of people. Mm-hmm. I love to, like, cancel plans, or you know, like when plans fall out and you're like, oh darn, I've got to go home and just be at home. Yeah. Like I am that kind of person, but I have completely changed right now where I'm like, I just want to like go to a wine bar and like sit outside in the courtyard of like Bayou Wine Garden, and you know, it's beautiful today. I'm like, I could be at Jazz Fest right now. Like,
I know,
just killing me.
My favorite thing to do is to go to a restaurant.
Totally.
I love it because, you know, New Orleans is so many great places to eat. And, well, you know, you can get takeout, but that's not the same.
You can get takeout, and it's been fine for me. Yeah. I mean, we've ordered that more than would have in general anyway. So that's good. I mean, you know, at least.
Yeah.
Back in some way kind of thing, but I don't know, it's crazy. And
meal time now seems like so arbitrary, where it's like, I guess I could eat something now,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, it's like
typically it's an event, it's like a moment, and like now, yeah,
it's like I guess I could go eat some Triscuits.
Right.
And
we use that as like an outing of like it's an outing for us to like go pick
that's
up
good.
Takeout. So like we'll maybe go get like coffee, or go to like this grocery and pick up some wine or something, and then like go to pick up our food, and like, you know, so it's like a process. It's like less of a, it's not like a chore. Yeah. Like we do it so we can get out of, you know, the situation and out of the house, and you know, that kind of thing, and just have like some sort of normalcy Okay, hold on one sec. My dog is like freaking out. Okay. So yeah, so that's where, you know, that's where we're at. It's just quarantine life, or social distancing. I'm not quarantined. I do not have symptoms, but the social distancing life, you know, that we're all getting used to. And honestly, I don't want to have to be quarantined. So if this is what I have to do in order to be quarantined, then all right by me.
Exactly. Yeah.
But instead, we have stories to keep us.
We have stories, and I have stories for you today.
I am so excited. I don't know anything that's happening, so I'm so excited.
Today, and you and I had kind of, we were kind of talking about this previously. Ooh. We're going to talk about Le Petit Theater.
Ooh, yes. Love it.
Yes. Formal name, Le Petit Theater du Vieux Carré.
Du Vieux Carré.
Which just means the French Quarter.
I know. It sounds a lot more exciting than it really is.
Yeah, exactly. So just a shout out to my sources. I got information from the theater's own website, Ghost City Tours, ooh, Wikipedia, and Haunted New Orleans Tours.
Haunted New Orleans. So
they all had information on this if you want to check out their websites.
Love it.
And look at pictures.
I love La Petite.
Yeah. Okay. The theater was established in 1916 and it's located at 616 St. Peter Street near St. Louis Cathedral. So it's kind of right in the middle of the French Quarter.
Right. Such a good location. I love that area.
Yeah. Me too. It was started by a group of amateur theater lovers who just were putting on plays. Mm. Yeah, and they were called the Drawing Room Players.
I love that.
Yeah. So they initially were renting space at another location in the Pontalba. And it started to gain a lot of popularity. They were in the drawing room is like the living room, what we call a living room now. And drawing a lot of attention and people coming. So in 1922... they decided to make it more formal and bought the property where it's located now at 616 St. Peter Street.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So in 1922, they moved into that building and its three buildings were removed and the present theater was built. So the present theater was built in 1922, but it's on really old property.
Okay.
So the new building incorporated a 1790s colonial building.
Oh.
Yes. And it was designed to be Spanish colonial.
Okay.
But the building that the property it sits on, there was another building there that was destroyed in the Great Fire of New Orleans in 1794 and was rebuilt in 1797 as the last residence of the Spanish governor of Louisiana. So very historic Spanish. When the Spanish owned what was kind of known as New Orleans at the time.
Right.
You know, pre-Louisiana Purchase, so we're not Americans. And it because it's on that, like, really old property, I think that has a lot to do with what we're going to talk about. Okay, so the building is kind of lots and lots of rooms, obviously. It's not just, like, you walk in, there's a reception area, and then the theater. It's got the theater, reception rooms, offices, dressing rooms, a smaller theater. You know, think about all the things that are going on behind the stage.
Right.
You know, and below. So, like, it's just like a rabbit warren of room after room back there. After the Louisiana Purchase in 1803, the old building that it was built upon went through a lot of owners. It was used as barracks for Union soldiers.
Okay.
Union General Benjamin Butler kept rooms in that building. And he was known as the Beast of, like, what was he called? The Beast? Because he was so brutal to people, I think. Yeah.
Great name.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What was it? I can't remember. Anyway, he was reviled. Everyone hated him, obviously.
Right.
Because they were occupying force.
I mean, I don't call anyone I enjoy the Beast.
I can't remember his name. Anyway, that That's just me trying to remember that. I don't know. It fell into disrepair when the drawing room players finally acquired it and tore down a lot of that old stuff and rebuilt the new things. So it kind of just sat there because it was the Depression and,
right,
you know, no one had the money to fix it up.
Right.
Le Petit has a variety of ghost stories. There's a gentlemanly ghost. There's a nun.
Those are the worst.
The creepiest. I know.
The creepiest.
I know. Many of these ghosts, it is reported, died from suicide. One stage manager thinks there could be around 40 ghosts.
Jesus.
Yeah. There are, you can hear the sounds of a piano playing, but there's no one there.
Oh, that's creepy. I don't like that.
Yeah. There are sightings of people in 18th century clothing that are dancing or just kind of hanging out. There's muffled conversations. There's coughing. The sound of military boots on the floor. Just like everything you could ever think of. So
yeah.
I looked into why, you know, this is kind of a common thing that theaters hold on to a lot of things. And so Llewellyn Worldwide, which is a resource, they have articles and books on supernatural stuff and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
It's a couple of different things. First of all, actors, in order to create their production, are producing a lot of physical energy and, you know, a lot of emotion. And
that makes sense.
In return, the audience is giving back emotion. They're reacting. So just the energy that's created in there tends to hold on to, you know, when you see
a residual.
Residual, thank you.
Yeah.
So that could be a source of that.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense.
Also, legend, you know, like theaters are places that bridge the gap between fantasy and reality. And that's those are general areas where spirits may like to hang out.
Okay.
And then finally, they suppose that some productions use a lot of props. And sometimes these props may be antiques or vintage pieces. And that they may also bring into that mix.
Whatever, like they're holding on energy and stuff.
Right. Wherever they came from, they bring that into the area. So I don't know. But this place has more than 40 ghosts, so
that's a lot. That's like a whole that's a football team.
So I'm going to tell you about a few of them.
Okay.
So we're going to start with Civil War activity. So
got it.
Many of the ghosts stem from the period of the Union occupation that we talked about.
Right.
People have seen soldiers, Union officers, and one is said to look at himself in the mirror and adjust his uniform and then disappear.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know.
It's an interesting, if you're going to have a reoccurring, reoccurring haunting, that's a little boring.
I think for a lot of these, it's just like flashes of people. Like there's supposedly, what would have been a manservant or more bluntly a slave.
Yeah.
Man who's just sitting in a chair and he just appears and then disappears. Like he's waiting for someone.
Mm.
But no one knows what his story is. So
yeah, well that would be, yeah, those are the residual ones.
Yeah. So
yeah,
a lot of things like that where they're just kind of flashes of people or sounds.
That's crazy.
But the nun.
Oh God! Of course, the nun has more to her story.
Is there anything creepier than a ghost nun?
Nothing. There is nothing creepier.
And she's in a full nun's habit.
Ugh, that's worse. The one,
I know.
Did you watch what was that Netflix show about the Catholic
the Keepers?
The Keepers,
yes.
In that one scene where they're talking, that she was talking about, like, her uncle upstairs had, like, a whole nun outfit, That is the creepiest thing. I was not creeped out at all during that whole series.
Yeah.
Except for that one scene. And I had like nightmares.
Seriously creepy. Like, why didn't they have that like in the months. Attic? First of all, like that.
I don't know. One, attics are horrid.
I just.
And two, put a nun outfit. Ugh. Or no, it's not an outfit. What is it called?
Habit.
A habit.
Yes.
You know, their costume.
Yes. You know.
But like, put that upstairs. I mean, up in an attic. It's like creepy on creepy. It's like, so what creepy. Are you trying to do here?
Right.
Ugh.
Well, apparently.
I never had a nun that dressed like that. My mom
I never did, either.
But I mean, I had nuns. I had nuns as teachers.
Yeah.
And like, they ran my, you know, different school and stuff while growing up, but they never wore. Like, the nun that was my principal of my grammar school never wore, like, a specific outfit or anything like that. And she didn't wear the hat thingy either.
Yeah. Yeah. The
Is that the habit?
That's technically the habit, I think. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I went to Catholic high school. I'm not Catholic, but I went to Catholic high school. And our nuns wore the gray skirt, the knee-length skirt.
Yeah.
You know, with, like, a gray sweater.
I had one nun that wore that.
They did that.
And then when I went to Mount Carmel, the Carmelite nuns all wore brown, but they didn't wear like specific thing. Like,
yeah,
my principal literally, she had like a brown tracksuit. Like, and they didn't wear habits either.
Yeah. I don't know.
Huh.
I think that kind of went.
I only had one my entire I had a good amount of nuns in my schooling, and I only had one that wore a habit every day.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it depends on each order.
I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea. Anyway. I didn't pay that much attention in my 14 years of Catholic education.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, the drawing room players would often have this comedy that they would put on called Saturday Night Catechism.
Oh, God.
And
the nun loved that.
Right. One of the cast members would dress like a nun. Yeah, she didn't like that.
No.
It was a comedy. No, ma'am. So it's in New Orleans. You can imagine. It was probably
raunchy.
Not great. So the nun would often appear, and they would think that it was an actor, but it wasn't. And then she would disappear.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no, no.
So creepy.
So creepy. And
it says on one of these that a secretary was there during rehearsals and something slapped her on the back. And when she turned around, there was the nun, and she just faded away.
Oh, no, ma'am. Smashed That's a hard pass. That's a hard pass. I would have been like, I can't work here anymore. I'm sorry. Like, I can't do it. Nope. I'm out. That's enough for me.
A very angry nun ghost.
Nope.
Yeah.
No. And she's slapping people.
I know.
She got a ruler somewhere.
Yeah.
Apparently, in that afterlife.
The stories are that it left a red mark on her back. Like, so they were like, what is going on?
Oh, no.
So that's the nun.
Okay. That wasn't as bad as it could have been.
No, but just the thought of it.
God.
There's so
just the thought is terrifying, yeah. But.
The next one I'll call the lovers. It's really the lady.
Spicy.
This is just a lady. She was an actress who was working there. And she got into a relationship with a maintenance person there.
Okay.
And they would meet on the catwalks above the main stage.
Okay.
One day they were making out and she fell. And got tangled in wiring and curtains and all that stuff and died on impact of a broken neck.
Yeah, she fell.
Right. So the maintenance man,
air quotes.
Right, was a drifter and he immediately disappeared and they didn't know who he was. So there's always
innocent people just always disappear like that.
Right.
They constantly.
So like there's always this question if she fell or if he pushed her or what happened.
Right.
They don't really know. But apparently she lives there now.
Okay. Oh, she moved in. Her and the nun.
She's there now. Yep. And
her and the nun are roommates.
She lives on the catwalks, which I can't imagine if it's dark and you look up and there's like a ghost above you, like looking down at you. Like that would be really.
Is she looking down at you or is she in the curtains?
No, she's in the catwalks up above.
Well, I mean, she died in the curtains. Yeah, so.
Well, but like her tryst was up on the catwalk.
What if she became like an aerial arts kind of person? Ooh. And she was just hanging from the curtains?
Yes.
I feel like you can do whatever the fuck you want in your afterlife, right?
I mean, absolutely. I hope.
I would have made lemonade out of lemons there.
Yeah. Well, apparently it gets really cold right before. Like, so like you feel very cold and then she's seen.
Oh.
And sometimes the curtains that are real heavy, they're like, you can't move them with a breeze.
Right.
Move.
Ugh. Well, she pissed.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy pushed her over and now she has to live there for eternity. And he just, you know, up and left.
I know. Exactly.
That dick.
I know. So there's her.
Okay.
Okay. Then there's the gentleman ghost.
Oh, okay. We're getting fancy.
He's known as the captain.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he likes to show up and a lot of times when they're doing rehearsals.
Okay.
And watches the rehearsals from a dark spot in the back of the theater.
I mean, that's not creepy at all.
No, I think it sounds like a very friendly ghost. He appears well-dressed, you know, okay. Not in modern clothing, but
right.
Out of fashion, but he always looks super put together. They say that you can smell his pipe tobacco, which you can smell the pipe tobacco first before you see him.
Oh, it's like, oh, he's here.
Yep. And then sometimes you can smell his cologne.
Jesus.
It says he
had a lot of smells attached to this person.
Yeah, that he likes to sit next to the sound booth, which is probably in the back from what I'm imagining.
Okay.
Some think that he's the ghost of a producer or an agent. Or maybe,
well, I mean, that would make sense. Yeah,
or maybe just a fan. Like the guy that just really liked the theater.
Yeah, he really liked the theater if that's where he's spending his afterlife.
Right. Both a lot of the sources that I was looking at said that if he likes the performance, he will applaud. You can hear the applause. Fuck, no. And if he doesn't, he will hiss.
He will hiss?
Yeah.
Like a snake?
Yeah, well, like boo. You know.
No.
But what they say is that if he applauds, the show is usually a success.
So he's like the critic you can't see, but you're really trying to please.
Correct. Yes. And then the last theory is that, you know, maybe he wasn't just a theater goer, but that he fell in love with an actress. And he's attending in hopes that he'll see her again.
Is he the one that pushed her off of the catwalk? Just kidding.
Mm-mm. So he seems nice.
Yeah, he seems fine. He seems sad. I feel bad for him.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's this one is the one that everyone's most afraid of.
Oh, God.
The theater manager.
Well, yeah.
So, the ex-theater manager, he was alleged to have been, shot a bullet through his own head.
And, I was like, through the head of who?
Through his own head. In what is now the office lounge area. So he killed himself in the office lounge. So employees who work at night feel like they're being watched.
Okay.
They get chills. They hear the sound of drawers and doors banging in the lounge area.
Oh.
Oftentimes their belongings disappear and sometimes they reappear, but sometimes they don't. So
where did they go?
It says one man's wallet was stolen from his desk drawer. After a full day's search, the wallet turned up on the soundboard inside a locked theater, the other locked theater.
Ugh.
The duffel bag of one actress containing a script, yogurt, water bottle, and $17 in cash went missing from the lounge while the actress was alone in the room and never resurfaced. So
I feel like this is just someone trying to take their money.
Maybe so.
I think that's a swindler.
But they say if you lose something, you call out to Carolyn, who is another ghost, and you leave the room when you come.
Carolyn, help a sister out.
Yeah, and then you leave the room and you come back. A lot of times, the missing items are put back.
So so the manager goes, steals your shit, and then Carolyn goes, some bitch that just goes and finds your shit again.
Right. Poor Carolyn.
Okay. It's a weird game.
I feel bad
it's
for her. Like
a little bit, oh, yeah. God. That's your life.
This asshole again. I gotta go find this guy.
Son of a bitch.
Bag with yogurt in it.
I know. All right. Who took the yogurt bag?
Oh God.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Give it up.
Yeah.
We can't eat yogurt anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. So it doesn't say like why the guy killed himself, but he apparently is very angry.
Apparently he is angry.
He hates everyone.
I wonder if the guy that pushed the lady over maybe killed him too.
Hmm. I don't know.
Hmm.
All right. And then there's the bride.
Oh, that's always bad too.
Yeah. Let's see. The cause is unknown, but the bride decided to commit suicide on the wedding day by jumping off the side of the theater.
Oh,
maybe she found out her man was cheating. I don't know.
I feel like that's a really intense way to get out of,
I don't know,
marrying someone.
Yeah. So apparently you can see her standing in the spot where she, before she jumped off of the courtyard, the side of the courtyard.
Oh, God.
It says, so
is this the courtyard that also Tableau shares?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the restaurant Tableau is also connected to the theater.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Those that stand in that spot have reportedly become overwhelmed by a sudden drop in temperature. So it's very cold there. And then some say they can see the bride's reflection in the water of the fountain.
Oh, no. That's the no.
So
that's a no.
Can you imagine if you look in the water and there's a bride standing behind you?
That's creepy as the fuck is what it is. Creepy as hell.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I wonder what her story is.
I don't know. Like, why would... That's very dramatic.
They need to get some, like, ghost hunters up in there and ask her what her dealio is.
Well, I feel like once we get done with quarantine, maybe you and I should just go and...
We should just go.
Like, visit and check it out.
Yeah. You're really on this. You're trying to get me to go somewhere haunted.
We're going to do it.
I see what you're doing, Ashley.
We're going to do it. It's going to happen. And then another one, the Coral Girl. That's always a poor, you know, little aunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, she was flirting with a producer of some plays and found herself in a lot of leading roles. So,
well,
it's a little Me Too movement.
Wonder what you were doing, ma'am.
Me Too. Then the producer obviously got tired of her and, you know, she was no longer his favorite. And so she was demoted to lesser roles. Mm. So it said, as vengeance, she hung herself in the middle of the opening night performance of the largest production of the season.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Drama.
I mean, you're trying to get your point across.
Seriously. Legend says she continues to appear to the audience each opening night as a shadowy form hanging against the backdrop of the stage.
Like people still see her?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It sounds a lot like the Wizard of Oz thing, though, where you can see.
What?
You know, the thing that in a certain scene, you can see the guy hanging in the background.
Oh, I've heard of that, but yeah. I never actually like looked into it.
I think
like I never.
It turns spent out time that it's it. Like an ostrich or something. Like they had, I'm serious. Like they had like something in the background. I think it was like an ostrich.
That's hysterical.
Because I have
it's
looked.
A man hanging. No, it's just a dumbass ostrich.
I have done all the Wizard of Oz. I've played it with the Pink Floyd album. I have looked.
What's that? I've never heard that.
Yeah, you start. The Wall, I think it is, right when there's a certain moment when I'm going to get it wrong, but like when she first steps on the path, uh-huh. You start it right then, not in the black and white portion, but in the color part.
Right.
And then the words of the album sync up with what's happening on the screen.
Oh, that's weird. Why? That's so stupid.
I think you have to be
high
using recreational drugs for it to kind of work.
Yeah, adds up. That makes sense.
Everything makes sense, you know?
Well, then the whole world opens up to you.
But also, I don't think I'd want to watch The Wizard of Oz after.
Hell no. Those flying monkeys, I am 29 years old and those flying monkeys still fucking haunt
that
me.
Movie is so scary to me. I hate it. I don't.
So mm-mm. Terrifying.
I don't like it. So
it's creepy.
Well,
it's very creepy.
I know that's kind of short. That kind of went faster than I thought, but that's some of the ghosts at Le Petit.
Jesus. I mean, that is just like, they got a lot of shit going on there.
Yeah. So what is your idea of why theaters are haunted?
I don't know. I mean, I think the same. I think like people who are in the theater have a lot of passion and a lot of, you know, just like energy and emotion and whatever, you know, whether good or bad. And so I think because they're so passionate and so, you know, like into it and putting all of their energy towards something, I just think that's why, like you kind of said that in the beginning, like I just think it kind of imprints onto their surrounding. Mm-hmm. And especially if they were, you know, I think theater people are definitely today still as passionate, but that was a lot of people's only family, only livelihood, mm-hmm. only, you know, thing. I mean, now people are in the theater, but they also have other outside, you know, families or jobs or whatever. And I think back then it was just such a way of life that I think when you put so much of your soul and being and energy into something, then you're obviously like gonna leave a part of you there.
Yeah,
kind of. So I think that's, I think that's it.
And I think actors tend to be obviously more dramatic, more emotional,
right,
emotive people,
right?
So maybe they're more inclined to hang around after they die.
They're not done yet. Yeah. Their performance isn't done yet.
Right. Also, I think that maybe theaters, especially older theaters, you know, there's accidents. There's curtains and totally. Catwalks and props and
right, know, right.
Things happen all the time. So maybe people do get injured or hurt or.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely that a lot of that happens. I would say a lot of trauma can probably happen. Yeah. I mean, especially back then with, you know, how women weren't necessarily treated.
Right.
The best. And, you know, I think there's trauma that's involved and, you know, it's some of the happiest moments and some of the most horrible moments, yeah, kind of thing. It's a lot of, you know, it's not just one wavelength. It's a lot of different factors that go into it.
Definitely.
I mean, I get it. Yeah, I get it. I think it's almost the same thing, like, not the same, but like on this, the same idea as like when hospitals are haunted and stuff, like, you know, there's such a big part of you that is a part of that place that, you know, some part of you gets left behind.
Right.
And is stuck to that. Well, for not stuck, but like, you know,
oh yeah,
imprinted onto that space and that area. I also think too, I mean, you know, we're not the only place in the world to have, you know, ghosts and old buildings and like all of that. But I just think that New Orleans more than other places just has this like energy. Like, I don't know if we're on, you know, specific, like our specific latitude, longitude kind of things puts us over some sort of like plate or whatever in the earth, but I think we have a lot more energy, mm-hmm. and you know, electricity that kind of goes through the city, and I think that's something that keeps people here even in their afterlife, you know, like it just kind of draws people here in the present, mm-hmm. and then keeps a hold of them after,
mm-hmm.
just because of the energy and the surrounding. And we've had all kinds of religions, we've had all kinds of, you know, different kinds of things. Everyone thinks we've had, you know, vampires and this. Like, everyone is drawn to this place. So I think the energy is just very large,
right,
and strong.
Right. I am so. I'm looking up the general. His nickname was the Beast.
Okay.
And he was infamous for being kind of a tyrant.
A dick.
He ordered that if any female by word, gesture, or movement insult or show contempt for any officer, she shall be regarded and held liable as to be treated as a woman of the town plying her avocation. So apparently the women of New Orleans did not like him.
Well, I mean, makes sense.
Yeah. So I think that because those were maybe also Union soldiers' residents right there.
Yeah.
The fact that theater is on that historic spot.
Right.
You know, there was fire, there was war, there were soldiers. So
yeah, there's a lot going on. Yeah. I mean,
the French Quarter, like you were saying, you know, it's just so old and has had so many layers.
Right.
You can't help but have, you know, leftovers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I think residual hauntings are a little different because I think that's more of like an energy thing, but something that you can like interact with. I mean, I think that's, you know, the pull of the city and like, especially a theater, like we said before, it's just, that was their whole life.
Yeah.
And so I think they just attach themselves to something like that.
Definitely. Yeah. So,
and I definitely believe too, like in like objects having things attached to them. Like I truly believe that, and I've talked about it on here before, but I think, you know, all the furniture that I had of my great grandparents and how I used to like feel my great grandparents and, you know, like feel, or like not feel, like I would feel somebody like there, like a presence kind of thing. And I haven't felt that since I haven't been around that furniture anymore. And I think, you know, that I think people attach onto things, or their spirit or their energy attaches onto stuff too. So it could just be the building. It could be the things that they used in their productions, in their, you know, day-to-day lives that just have their vibe and feeling and energy attached to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
It's cool, man. I like it.
I definitely want to go. And I don't know why I'm ashamed to admit it. I have not been.
Oh, like ever?
No.
So. Yeah, so I used to go. They used to have my grandma took me when I was a little girl, and they used to have different productions, and I think it was like an off season kind of thing. They would have children's productions. Mm-hmm. So I saw one of the princesses. It was either Beauty and the Beast or Cinderella. Mm-hmm. I saw at La Petite, and it wasn't in like the main stage, because they have like a couple of different areas, I think.
Right.
And it was like, it was in this, like this little theater kind of thing. And it was like more interactive than it was like actual play that you saw. They would come into the audience and like sing notes and stuff. So my grandma took me to that a couple of times. I saw a couple of different things there. But I haven't seen anything as an adult in the regular theater. Mm. I've been in, I've seen it, and I've been around it. And when I toured, for an article, I toured, Tableau, and we were, you know, in that area, because as a part of Tableau, and their whole like event stuff, you can rent out the theater for different events or different parts of the theater for different events.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I saw a little bit of that, and they were in the middle of, putting together stuff for their next production. So I saw that a little bit. It's not a big theater.
No,
it's really small.
I imagine it's not.
No, it's very small, and it's like intimate and cozy, and you're kind of like in the show when, you know, it's happening, because they're so close to you. But no, it's nice. It's very cool. It's definitely old school. Like, you know, that's what you think it would look like when it was first built kind of thing. And all that. So, no, it's nice. It's really nice. And I'll have to now that we've talked about it, I'll have to, we'll have to go see a play or something and then
definitely
take a little tour around.
Yeah. When we're, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
But if you Google ghosts, and theater, like countless stories come up across the United States. Like just, there is definitely something.
Yeah, I'm really not surprised.
No, definitely something about theaters. And this one is supposed to be one of the most haunted in the country. So,
really?
Yeah.
That I did not know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very cool, though.
Yeah.
I just think so. I bet it's like, it has to be one of the more older, the older ones still operating.
I would think so. Yeah.
Like in its original, you know.
Yeah. Original place
kind of thing. Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, we'll have, maybe we'll do a part two of this.
Do a field trip.
Do a little field trip when we can get out and about again.
Yeah. We can hang out in the office and see if Caroline will help us find things.
I would prefer, you know, I don't have a whole lot of things like money or anything. So I prefer if somebody did not, if a ghost did not steal.
I definitely do not want to see the nun. That would be.
No, I think I would shit myself. I would never sleep again. I would immediately like want an exorcism or something. I will admit fully, I am a scaredy cat. I am a child when it comes to things like that. Actually, children are probably more brave than I am. I don't fuck with that. And I don't like it. I don't fuck with it. I don't want it to come home with me. And I don't do it.
No. That's why we'll get you some holy water or something to bring with you.
Perfect. I'll just go pop into the cathedral after.
Definitely. Right like, there. Yo. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's it? Gregory Amen. Let's go.
Yes.
Dude. You can bless
get
me.
A little blessing.
Get this creepy ass nun off my back.
Oh,
I'm sure he'll love that.
Oh, he would love it. Yes. He's seen a lot of things. He's fine.
Oh, I'm sure. I don't know. Well, cool.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Short and sweet.
And I didn't know anything about that, so that was fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Absolutely. So as per usual, if y'all have anything y'all want us to look into, research, talk about, you can email us at bigeasyspirits@gmail.com or fill out our little form on our website at bigeasyspiritspodcast.com and follow us on social media.
Yeah. We would love to hear from you. If anybody's seen ghosts at the theater.
Oh my gosh.
Or
yes.
Has
you seen anything? Yeah. If you've had anything like that, anyone from the theater?
Yes.
That'll be awesome. We just want to know. You can call in. We can get a little interview set up or something. We would love to know more.
That'd be so
and
fun.
If you know any like specific details about these people,
yes.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be very cool. So yeah, bigeasyspirits@gmail.com, bigeasyspiritspodcast.com. And then we're Big Easy Spirits on all of our social media channels. Yeah. So reach out. Reach out and let us know.
Definitely.
And catch up on our, if we're still social distancing and all of that, catch up on our other episodes. This is episode 16. So we've got 15 other fantastic episodes for you to bide your time with.
Definitely. Yeah.
Just reach out. Let us know.
Absolutely.
All right.
Cheers.